Well, we've been blessed this morning, as we always are, by those who brought us our music. Thank you, choir, and all of you who've led us with WT and instrumentalists. What a blessing to be here. And thank you for you being here. We especially want to say welcome to our guests today, and I hope that you'll give our people an opportunity to welcome you personally. And before you leave today, and if we can minister to you in any way, please let us know. For several months now, it's been my privilege to try to preach through the wonderful book of Romans. It's an incredible book, and we have seen so many wonderful truths therein. And today we come to the last chapter. It's one of the most unique chapters in the book of Romans, the 16th chapter. And you may want to turn there with us this morning as we look together at a message simply entitled, Take Care. Many of us, most of us, maybe all of us at one time or another have said to somebody after we've been with them for a while, maybe they're leaving, they're departing, maybe they're going home, but those words probably or similar words have come out of our mouths. You take care now. And that's basically what Paul was saying as he's writing to the church at Rome, these closing words of affirmation. And in this wonderful passage, Paul takes time to name 35 people that we don't really know much about. In fact, there are several of them we don't know anything about, and we'll probably, well, not probably, we will find out when we get to glory, all about their story. But the truth is they were important people, and everybody is, but they were because of how God used them in the early days of the founding of the church. In Romans chapter 16, Paul begins continues in his letter to admonish the children of God, and he names these 35 and shares most of the time the extent of the influence of their ministry and their impact upon his life. Let me begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord. By the way, Phoebe carried the book of Romans to the church at Rome and delivered it to the people of God there to whom it was addressed. And Paul said in verse 2 that you receive her in the Lord as becoming saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer, a picture of a caring mother caring for their children, of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. And we don't know a great deal about this couple, except they are mentioned in the book of Acts. And it's interesting that the wife is always named before the husband. And it just suggests to me that she was a spiritual giant like all these people were. And God used Priscilla and Aquila in a great way. My helpers in Christ Jesus, who for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles also give thanks for these wonderful folks. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved. Now, you'll have to help me on these. You pray and I'll try to preach. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus. When he get to heaven, that person will probably look me up and say, you murdered that name. Who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ? Greet Mary. And there are no less than half a dozen Marys in the New Testament. We don't know who this Mary was, but Paul knew, who bestowed much labor on us. And salute Andronicus and Genea, my kinsmen, and my fellow servants, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. Interestingly enough, we often think of the apostles being the 12 that God chose, the Lord chose, and they were. But in that culture, in that day, there were numbers of believers who were referred to as apostles, even though they were not among the first 12, who were also in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord, and salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the house of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. And interestingly enough, when I read these names, I know they won't mean much to most of us. But the ones to whom Paul was writing, these names meant a great deal and were going to come to mean a great deal. And Paul said, these are worthy servants of the Lord. And while we may not be familiar with them, their record is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God has chosen to let us know their names so we might know those that have gone before us in service to the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who most writers believe were sisters, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, who most scholars believe was an older sister of these two, which labored much in the Lord. Verse 13, salute Rufus, and chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus and Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, and Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologos and Julia. I bet you they're getting tickled in heaven right about now. Y'all come here and listen to this preacher. He is killing these names. And Julia in verse 15, and Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Let me pause there. We're going to come back to verse 17 in just a moment. And as the Lord would allow us, I pray that we'll take a moment and ask the Lord, what do we have to take away from these wonderful passages? Take care. What's Paul saying to the church at Rome? Give attention to, give priority to, take a moment and ponder the significance of three things that he shares. First of all, take courage to take time to encourage one another. These names don't mean much to us, but they will when we get to glory. And I have an idea that we'll have an opportunity. One of the great blessings of heaven will be getting to see and know people that God has used in a wonderful way that maybe we weren't familiar with at all. But the truth is, Paul is writing and saying, take care, church at Rome, that you encourage those who have gone before me, those who walk alongside of me, those who serve the Lord. And their names may not be in the headlines of the paper, but they are significant in God's economy, and they are blessed beyond measure. I don't really know if we could ever overestimate, and certainly we could not, the value of what it means to be an encourager. For just a moment, choir, think about, and church, think about those people God has brought across your path. The people God has used to bring into your life at significant times, and maybe you were at a crossroads in life, and who knows what their ministry might have meant. As Libby and I grow older, we have the privilege not only of having known a lot of people, but as time does, as we go along, more and more of those who were our impactors of our lives years ago are beginning to pass away. We've been to a lot of funerals lately, haven't we? But I think about when I stand at the casket of somebody that I was their pastor 50 years ago, how God used them to form me and fashion my ministry and set me on a course that God was going to try to sharpen and use for his glory. But that wouldn't have happened. I remember one case was Brother Paul Steumann. Brother Paul Steumann was a senior deacon in the first church I pastored, Calvary Baptist Church in Fayetteville, Tennessee. Now, how about that? And I remember I was so, remember when you were young? Remember how dumb you were? Now, we really weren't dumb. We just didn't know. But the world was ahead of us, and I was, if I had been pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, I could not have been more proud than that big pastor of that little church. I had 14 in Sunday school our first Sunday there, and I'd never been to a deacon's meeting as a pastor before. I'd never served a church as a pastor before. This is my first example. And I decided that because there were a lot of folks on the roll that weren't coming, we needed to do something about it. I'd been there long enough to get in trouble. I'd been there for a few months. And I called the deacons together. I said, fellas, we need to encourage people to come. Why don't we set up a system whereby we write their name on a board when they're here on Sunday? Y'all stay with me. And when they miss X number of Sundays in a row, we're going to go visit with them and tell them we miss them and we love them and we want them to get back in church. Remember, I ain't never pastored a church before. And I'm probably blessed I get to pastor this one after that first experience. And Brother Paul Steuben Choir looked at me and said, "Brother Pastor, Ed, do you think this is going to work?" And I remember saying as confidently as I could muster up, "Oh, yes, yes, Brother Paul. It'll work because the Lord will bless you just telling folks that they're missed and that you love them." And he said, "I don't know. We'll give it a try." But I remember we started writing their names on the board, those that missed on Sunday. And then the list got longer and longer and longer. And the deacons got quieter and quieter and quieter. And finally one day we had a little conversation and said, "Pastor, I think we need to rethink this process. I don't really think this is the best way to get our homebound folks back in church." But you know what I'm grateful for? They could have skinned me alive. They could have had my scalp. They could have turned me out and had said, "Hit the road, son. You're not what we need for our church." But they didn't. They loved me where I was. They put their arms around me and encouraged me. And they taught me there's a better way to do that. Just love people back into the fellowship. Love them back into the ministry. Love them back into the church. Don't try to put them on a guilt trip. That's just one example of many people. I remember a guy by the name of Austin Hartsfield. Austin Hartsfield and Addie B were members of our second church in that we served. And that was in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, sometime later on. And they had two sons of their own that were grown. But Austin and Addie B, how Hartsfield adopted sweet Libby and me, took us under their wing and just loved us and took babysat for us and cared for us and became really another mom and dad to us. And they encouraged me, and I went to pastor a church, and I had never been to a church where there was a fuss. If there was, I didn't know it. I mean, I was young and didn't know much. Remember, I was only 19, and when I went to my first church. But I went to a church. I remember driving up to Lawrenceburg and seeing, or in Loretta, and seeing this beautiful new brick church on the side of the road. And Rusty, it just blessed me to see. I thought, "Well, Lord of mercy, Lord must want me to be here. They got pretty white pine pews and glittering stuff on the ceiling. And they had about 100 that came." And I thought, "My goodness, the Lord wants me here for sure." But you know what I didn't realize? They were a split off First Baptist Church. And they were the mad crowd. They were the mad crowd. You ever seen mad Baptists? I mean, it had gotten ugly in the community and they wouldn't speak to one another. It was ugly, ugly, ugly. And I didn't know what in the world to do. I thought, "Sweet Jesus, deliver me. I'll go sell cars or anything." Anything. But Austin and Addie B. Hartsfield just put their arms around us and loved us through it. Said, "Son, it's not about you. It's just about where we've been in the church. We've got a long way to go." And what I'm saying is God's brought people into all of our lives who have encouraged us along the way. Lord, what word do you have for me? We've looked at these wonderful truths about sanctification and glorification and justification. We've seen that Romans is the great theological treatise of the New Testament. Lord, what do you want us to do? Don't forget, take care to be an encourager. There's somebody God will bring into you the pure path that you can help mold their life. And you may not know the influence that you have on them. One other little story. Wayman Bain's sister was one of our dear friends, and she passed away a few weeks ago. And I had the privilege of leading Wayman Bain to the Lord in 1971 or 72. It was about early 70s. And as we were talking at lunch after the service that day, when we had the funeral service for his sister, He said, "Do you remember that day, Brother Jackie, that I was saved?" And he said, "You had come to my house and talked to me about Jesus." And he said, my heart was cold and the Lord was dealing with me, but I wouldn't come. And then he said, "Do you remember what happened?" And I said, "What happened, Wayman?" He said, "I went fishing, not Gunnersville Lake, but Wilson Lake, and went by the Wilson Dam. And I was standing up in my boat fishing, and I had taken my pistol out of my pocket to put it in the bottom of the boat, and the pistol fell out of my hand and went off. And the bullet went through my trousers, tore the upper part of the belt part, and put a hole in my clothing." He said, "I have never thought more about that moment of what could have happened." And he said, "You don't remember this, but I came." He said, "The Wayman said I came to church on Sunday, and he told me, listen, this guy, this is back in the 50 years ago, he told me my sermon outline. He told me my text. He told me the message I preached from the book of Amos." And he said, "I remembered what you told me, and I remembered how close I came to going out into eternity to meet God. And I remembered how much you'd prayed for me." And he came and gave his heart and life to Jesus, and now he serves as a deacon in the church. And why? Because somewhere along the way, people just loved him and encouraged him. Lord, what do you want me to do with the great truth that you give us? Take care to be an encourager. And I pray, and I praise the Lord for the great encouragement all of you are to me. And I pray that you'll ask the Lord, "Lord, make me an encourager as I go along life's way. Help me to make people feel valued and appreciated and thank the Lord for them. Lord, what am I to take away from the book of Romans? Be, take care, be an encourager." Interestingly enough, the very next verse, verse 17, or verse 16, has a different tone. Notice it with me. "Salute one another with a holy kiss." It was the custom of that day for people to greet travelers along life's way, and friends and strangers as well, especially brothers and sisters in Christ, with a holy kiss. "The churches of Christ salute you." Now look at verse 17. Verse 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Take care. Guard the unity of the church. And may I repeat that? Take care, Paul. Take care, church at Rome. Guard the harmony and the unity of the church, or be alert for those who would be sources of division and sources of difficulty in the life of the church. Now, if you've been around very long, you already are aware you don't have to go far to find out what division does to the life of the church. And Paul is saying, take care, guard your fellowship, and be sure that you mark those that cause divisions. Be aware, and I say this lovingly, there are some people that are born in the negative case. There's some people that are born, they're just, the Greek word is obstreperous. You know what that means? It means contrary, cantankerous. Do you know anybody like that? Now, don't stand up and give their name now. Well, the truth is, in churches all across the world, the same message is, take care. Guard the harmony in your church. Be positive. Don't repeat rumors. Don't choose sides till you know a full story. Keep your heart clean. Love everybody, minister to everybody, be a servant of the Lord. What's he saying here? Take care, be an encourager. Take care, guard the unity of the church. And blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. God, give us more encouragers and more peacemakers in the life of our church. Some people seem to thrive on division and difficulty. It always made me kind of sick, I guess, in my stomach, because the sweetness of the Spirit, we often sing that song. In fact, the church I went to years ago, Mount Pleasant Baptist Church in Lexington, Alabama, oftentimes they'd sing on Sunday morning, "There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place." And folks, there are a few things that will bless the church more than a sweet, sweet spirit. And so Paul reminds the church, be aware of those who are sources of division and who have offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Don't compromise truth. Love the sinner. Love people, but don't be a part of division and difficulty in the life of the church. Number three, not only take care to be an encourager, take care to guard against division in the life of the church, take care to give God the glory. Verses 21. Let's go to verse 21. Timotheus, my fellow worker, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, by the way, Tertius was the amanuensis that helped Paul write Romans. Paul would dictate the words to the man, and then Tertius would write them down in the form that they'd send them to Rome. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, salute you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salute you. He was probably the treasurer of the city. And Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Listen to what Paul is saying. He's saying, be an encourager. Hold sacred the truth of the importance of harmony and fellowship in the life of the church. And always keep your focus on Jesus. Always keep you focused on the sweet Lamb of God. Always keep you focused on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, the wonderful mystery of the incarnation of Christ and the Lamb of God who took our place on the cross, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Christ Jesus forever. Paul was saying to the church at Rome, please don't miss this. Take care. Take care to be an encourager. Take care to guard the unity in the life of the church. Take care to keep your focus on Jesus. And you'll be successful in your Christian walk, and God will use you in a great, great way. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. When we get to the throne room of heaven, and we give an account of our lives as Christians, I'm not so sure that we won't give an account about how we encourage people along the way. Sometime you may not even realize how important it is in somebody's life. Sometimes we may not realize how important it is to guard our hearts and don't become a trash can for people's negative thoughts. Be positive. Be alert to those that are divisive in the life of the church. Guard the unity of the church. And whatever you do, keep your eyes on Jesus. The bottom line is, it's not about us. It's about him. Would you bow with me for a moment? I found myself in my prayer time and my study thinking, Lord, this is somewhat of a difficult passage because none of us know what these names mean and who they are. But the truth is, the Lord spoke quietly to my heart, not in an audible voice, of course, but just by his Spirit. But the Lord knows who they are. And like the roll call of faith in the book of Hebrews, I'm grateful for people like Austin and Addie B. Hartsfield. I'm grateful for Paul Steelman. I'm grateful for Wayman Vane, that God brought into my life to fashion me and fashion my ministry and my walk with the Lord and my love for Jesus and my pastor's heart. Lord, make us a blessing. And Father, in this room, you've got some great encouragers. People who have blessed me and sweet Libby in so many ways. And Lord, our whole church family is that way. And I thank you for Calvary and the fellowship here. Help us always, Lord, to keep our eyes on Jesus. Help us to have one mind and one heart focused on you. Help us, Lord, to be encouragers. May people who come here hurting and struggling and seeking, may they find answers. May they find hope. May they find peace. May they find grace. May they find new meaning as they get